Hello and welcome to Ghostbeats Horror Podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
Hi. We watched Smile 2 for 2024.
Is your energy back up now?
I'm trying. Okay. It's directed by Parker Finn, who's got Smile just all over his biography. He did Smile. And he also did Laura Hasn't Slept, which is a short that I guess leads into Smile. We're big fans of Smile. Mm-hmm. We both really like that movie.
The first one was very creepy.
It's very good.
Yeah.
I think... So the big thing for me, I was not a fan of the marketing for the first movie.
Okay.
I think it was like cool, like, you know, putting the actors in the baseball stadium and shit, which, by the way, I think they did that again mm-hmm. for Smile 2, even like in a baseball stadium, which is kind of like, guys, like, we know what you're doing now. This doesn't really work anymore. And that kind of gets to the root of some of my issues with the movie, which I really liked. Okay. I'll say up front. I feel like there's a lot to unpack about this one because I did really like it and I have a lot of thoughts about the series. Let's get to that. Let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
Let's not jump ahead.
Okay.
So my issue with the marketing, it's been something I've been like having trouble putting my finger on for a while. Because I just, it generally, it rubbed me the wrong way because it feels like there are these big horror movies that they get like, it feels like they kind of overdo it with the marketing and then the movies wind up being like just really bland. Like it feels like they just kind of were throwing a lot of money behind it. So I got this immediate kind of bad vibe about the first one, because especially with the title and the smiling people, it just felt like what I realized, it felt like a gimmick. Mm-hmm. And it felt like the marketing was leaning into that gimmick, which makes the movie feel like it's going to be very one-dimensional. So we missed it in the theaters and we kind of waited until we heard a lot of good word of mouth. So then when it was streaming, we were like, might as well check it out. And we really, really liked it. Because the funny thing is, it feels like it's definitely in the subgenre that I put movies like It Follows, where it's like some kind of weird high concept monster movie. But it's very stylish. Like the soundtrack is really good. It's scary. It gets pretty wild with the violence and the effects and everything. And the psychological aspect of it works really well. Like, I really think the first movie, it works super well for me. And I don't want to, like, I feel weird because it's the sequel. Mm-hmm. Are you listening to this if you haven't seen Smile? Like, I just feel like I don't want to spoil it, but also...
I don't know.
I guess we should just be safe. But there are things they did in the first movie I really liked, which I guess I'll get into when we talk spoilers. And I realized somebody online mentioned it's very much like a J-horror concept, because they do a lot with like curses and, you know, really lean into that psychological element. And that definitely frames these movies pretty well, that they are like very J-horror coded. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it is a cool concept. I guess just to kind of sum it up, trying to tiptoe around spoiler stuff. But it is like some kind of entity that attaches itself to people through trauma. And kind of just, it fucks with their head, makes them really unclear like what's going on, what is reality versus what's not actually happening. They see all kinds of weird hallucination type stuff. And it seems very much like it's... It feels like you are experiencing psychosis with this character and very unclear what's real, what's not, ultimately leading up to this thing getting passed on through trauma. I mean, that's how the movie opens, mm-hmm. you know, is because it gets passed on to the character. But it does a lot of cool stuff along the way. It definitely keeps you guessing. And the first movie does a good job of really making you as an audience member feel like you're losing your fucking mind, because you start like not trusting anything. and I think it's very effective with that. And my biggest criticism of this movie, like if I had to sum it up, I think that the sequel, it does the Smile thing super well, like all of that. Because leading into this, I was skeptical as soon as they announced the sequel, because I was like, that movie... I really, really liked it. I don't know if we really need more of that, if we need it to be a franchise. what else can they do in this space? It feels like they've kind of laid everything out already. And I feel like the sequel, it's like, for better or worse, it leans into my criticism there, because it is definitely, it is another smile movie. It mm-hmm. does all the smile things. It does them really well. I think it was a really good movie, but it doesn't have a lot more to offer. Like, it didn't feel like there were a lot of like fresh or new or original things beyond what you kind of already saw in the first one. It's just like a really good one of those. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't do much else with the story. I have a lot of things actually to say about the ending, which we'll get to. But there are some things that people criticized about the first movie that does not get addressed at all in this one. It's like I said, when I say it for better or worse, it's doing all the good stuff, but then it's also doing the bad stuff. It feels like it didn't really learn any lessons from the first one. But overall, it's a good time. And I say that even though it is kind of hard to judge these side by side, because we had probably the worst theater experience imaginable. Because the first one, I think we were able to get super immersed into it, which is part of what made it so effective.
Yeah, we watched it at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this one, we're old. We usually go to the movies, like, we try to go really early when there's, like, nobody there. Because of circumstances, we had to go at night on Friday. And, you know, people being loud and noisy is one thing. Mm-hmm. That was, like, kind of annoying, but it's, like, it's a big horror movie. It's going to draw this kind of crowd. I was kind of like, I wish we had more of this in Terrifier when we saw that.
It was pretty good, though, Terrifier.
But people felt like they were more quiet and like mm-hmm. into it until things popped off. And then you had the people running around and shit and going crazy. In this, it was just like throughout like half the movie, people were just talking. Whenever there was like a jump scare scene coming, people would be like, ha! Like making noises, like trying, like you could tell people were just fucking scared and trying to take the edge off, which is also just annoying. Cause it's like, I don't know what you're trying to prove here. If you're that scared, like just fucking chill out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the realm that if you're reacting to the movie, whatever, it's fine. But we had like some snot-nosed kids next to us. They're fucking talking the whole movie.
When you say
movie.
It like that, it makes us sound very old.
I don't care.
Snot nose kids.
I don't care. Honestly,
they were
like,
terrible.
They were so terrible. They had like zero manners. They were on their phone. They were getting up like every like 2 seconds. And like, I don't care if it makes me sound old. You're being disrespectful.
No, like, not that part. That they were definitely, they were the worst. Because it was like, not only were they just talking nonstop, like they were doing their own podcast episode in the theater.
Except they had zero to say.
Well, it's also that he kept getting up and leaving the theater like every 5 minutes. Yeah. It's like he was the most ADHD fucking kid I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Anyways, whatever.
Well, I did. So that actually like affects my review of the movie because like I missed like a good 20 to 30 minutes of the first part of the movie because this kid was just talking the whole time and I have ADHD. So I can't tune him out.
Yeah.
He's just right next to me. That's all I could hear. And I'm like, I can't even hear what's happening. I need like subtitles at this point because you're being so loud.
It was very distracting. And that's what I'm saying. It made it hard to be like super immersed. At a certain point, I mean, the one thing I was very grateful for is the movie gets like super fucking loud when stuff is happening.
Yeah.
And that kind of drowned out everything else.
Well, yeah, because you'd be talking and then you get scared and then you'd stop talking. Oh, yeah. Just like, thank God.
So, yeah, it just, in that sense, it wasn't as effective because it was just harder to get into, unfortunately. That's just kind of what it is. But yeah, I think like it runs with the formula. It executes everything like very well. Like I thought it was a really good sequel. The lead actress is incredible
in this.
Her acting was insane. But it did feel like the first movie really laid the cards out on the table and it's just kind of playing from the same playbook. That meant that there's some stuff I'll get into in spoilers where I was like predicting what was real and what was fake and stuff like that. And It just very quickly became predictable in that way. So even though it's like a fun ride, it just inherently is not going to be as effective as the first one, where it really had you like second guessing and was really fucking with you. And this one, it's like, yeah, we know the smile deal. We got it. So I would say like, I am open to a third one, but I would hope that they just do something different. Like try to like actually surprise the audience instead of just,
you think they're playing it safe?
I think they are kind of playing it safe, honestly. Okay. 'Cause even though it does like the gore and the shocking elements of the movie are like very effective, and there are some specific scenes I'll get into that are really fucking cool. It's just like I said, it doesn't feel as original, and it kind of plays into my kind of what I was hoping the movie wouldn't do, which is just more of the same. So I don't know, it's hard to complain about that when I did like the movie overall. What can I say? Like that, it is what it is. If you like the first one, I think there's a lot here. If you didn't like the first one, I don't know how this one would win you over, because it's just the same fucking thing. And it did feel like there's clearly like a concept to this movie that it feels like they kind of came up with first in making it like a pop star. I don't want to say too much, but it is something people, I think, were saying beforehand. They were kind of predicting where it was going to go. And I think if you think about it for more than 5 seconds, you can kind of realize where they're taking this concept. Yeah. So that also feels like it's just kind of wearing that on its sleeve, that, and they don't surprise you too much. That's all I'll say. But I don't know. What did you think overall?
I mean, I liked it. I need to see it again.
Yeah, different setting.
Yeah, at home. I don't know. It's really hard for me to fully give a good full review on this movie, because I like literally missed like the first part of it. Other than that, I mean, I will say the ending was pretty cool.
There were elements of it that were cool.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that more. Mm-hmm. So why don't we just get to spoilers? What I think a lot of people kind of predicted as soon as they were like, oh, it's Lady Gaga. You know, it's like a pop star who's getting infected with the smile virus. It seems like an obvious setup to like, oh, well, she's going to spread it to like this massive audience. Like, yeah. That seems like the whole concept is built on that.
Yes.
And that's just what happens.
Yeah.
Like, so it's as much as it feels like this cool direction to take it, it is kind of like, you know where it's going.
Well, yeah. I mean, as soon as you see a pop star gets infected, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And that's part of like what I struggle with. It's because there is a lot of stuff like that feels very predictable and almost kind of rote in this context. But everything it does is still, it executes on it so well that it's kind of like, it puts it in this weird space where it's like, it's a very good movie. It was a lot of fun, but there just isn't a lot here to surprise you, you know? And I do think it feels like this was probably, they probably came up with this very quickly. They might've came up with this at the same time as the first movie or else like very quickly afterwards when it was clear that it was going to be a success. So in that sense, it feels like it's almost not even commenting on what happened in the first movie. It really is just like an extension of it. And that's the big thing. Like my biggest complaint about this is that the ending of the first movie, a lot of people were very critical of it because the message seemed to be that like there is no overcoming your trauma. Like it's always going to be there, because the movie, like, she tries to challenge this thing and defeat it, and that doesn't happen. Like, mm-hmm. She gets killed by it. It gets passed on. The cycle continues. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where it's like, as a movie, it works very effectively, but thematically, it is kind of like, is that the message? Like, yeah. Is that what we really want to be talking about? And this movie, I mean, it does the exact same thing. Like, I think there was space for them to react to that criticism. And instead, it's just like, no, like, she's going to get killed by the thing. And it still seems like you can't escape your trauma. And that's it. And has nothing else to say thematically. So that's kind of disappointing. That felt like there was room for them to be more surprising, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, the whole way, I think the violence in the movie was appropriately like very shocking. Like all that stuff still works super well. It's still fun to see that this is the current state of horror, is just really fucking raising the bar and bringing some like really extreme violence into theaters to subject, you know, regular people to. That's mm-hmm. great. But a lot of the stuff that was going on with like the reality bending side of it, where she could never really trust what she was seeing. Unfortunately, I think most of it did feel like pretty predictable. Like, I don't know how you felt when she first reaches out to her friend and her friend comes over. I right away was like, oh, it's fake. She's not here. Like, did you pick up on that at all?
I think I went back and forth on it. I definitely felt like, wait, this could be a dream. But like the fact that the friend was still around, I was like, okay, well I guess she's there. I don't know. I just kind of suspended my disbelief for it. Yeah.
Well, what got me was there's like a little tell when she wakes up the next morning and her mom comes over. Mm-hmm. The girl says like hi to her mom and the camera never even cuts to the mom to show the reaction. And that was the point where I was like, oh, she's definitely fake. Because like that's such an awkward way to frame that, you know?
Yeah, and I will say I had the same thought, but also the mom was just so like full of herself that I was like, it's totally plausible that she would just not say anything. But I guess now thinking back on it, she said that she like really loved that friend, so it would make sense for her to acknowledge her existence.
Yeah, maybe. It felt like it was deliberately kind of telegraphing it in a way that was like, oh, when you rewatch it, like you're going to see, oh, my God, she wasn't really there. No one even acknowledged her. But when you notice that the first time, it just pulls away that whole illusion, which is too bad because I think when she gets like rescued by her friend and then there's the actual reveal, there was something like pretty chilling about, you know, she gets that call from her friend who's like, it makes it clear that she had not contacted her at all up until this point. So all of that feeling like she had a friend at least that was on her side and everything and that just disappearing was pretty effective at that. It's just that I kind of already knew leading into it.
I will say there's thinking back on it, it is really weird that it all was just like a hallucination. Because, I mean, even her friend calling her and being like, what are you doing? Like, that was also a hallucination. Yeah. So it was just like, everything was a hallucination.
Yeah. Which, I mean, the first one did some of that, too. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, there are other scenes, like when that super fan shows up in her apartment. Like, that's super creepy, like the way that it was framed and everything. But you just know with these movies that, like, they're not there.
Yeah.
So there are parts like that where something crazy happens and then she looks and suddenly it's like, oh, the glass isn't actually broken and this isn't on the floor. And it just was like, yeah, it's Smile. We got it.
I do think that they had like an opportunity to open up a conversation about like fan interaction. Yeah. And like also with her friend, there was a conversation that could have been opened up about, you know, building bridges between lost friends and stuff like that. But it does feel like a lot of it just gets washed away because it's all hallucinations.
It's just Smile, baby.
Yeah. So, I mean, I totally see what you're saying there because I feel like there are some interesting conversations that could have been held within the context of the movie, but it's all hallucination. So what's there to talk about?
I think it's, I'm very conflicted. I think I keep saying this, but like, I did really like the movie. Like, it just feels like it does all this stuff well, but I would really hope if they're going to make a sequel that you try harder to, you know, surprise the audience, try some new ideas. You know, it feels like when you're just doing the same stuff, you can't expect the audience to be like, oh my God, that wasn't real. Holy shit. It's just like, yeah. We know. We got it. So that's too bad. There were still some things that I thought were super cool, though. Like, the buildup, like, they explained that she had this drug problem and she was in this car accident. And by the way, when she had her long, dark hair, she looked like a completely fucking different person to me. Is that not just me?
No, she definitely
I was like,
did.
Am I face blind or something? Because she did not look like the same actor. No. I had to look her up after because I was like, who is this woman? Like, I feel like I can't recognize her at all. She was in like the live action Aladdin and Power Rangers. So it's like, I guess we just have completely missed her because we're not exactly the audience for those movies. She was great, though. So they're kind of planting these seeds about what happened to her. And when you finally get to that big scene that shows the accident, I think all of that was like super effective. That stuff was really well executed. Like everything from that toxic fight that they're having to them actually veering off the road. It was pretty, pretty scary.
Yeah, it was really scary.
Yeah, it turns out that the stuff that feels more real and grounded is like the scariest of all.
I don't like it. I don't want to be in that. I don't like it.
But then, like, I also thought it was really cool when she's in her apartment and the dancers attack her. So, like, that conceptually is, like, just such a cool idea.
Yeah, and, like, the choreography was, like, so on point. Like, even in the beginning of the film where they're just doing regular choreography, that was already very impressive. But then you have this, and that was cool.
I think that was some of the most effective shit because, yeah, they introduced that choreography, and then when they're in there and, like, it just feels like so unnatural the way they're moving. Like the part where they all climb on each other and they're all the way up to the ceiling and shit. Like that stuff was so uncomfortable and so creepy. That was a really cool idea.
Yeah. I honestly wish they would stop showing like the whole movie in trailers because unfortunately
that was in the trailer,
I was like expecting all of that, all of those moments. And I don't want to like surprise me with it. Stop showing me everything in the trailers. I don't know how many times I feel like people say this all the time. Please just show a snippet of the movie. Like, I'm so sick of seeing the whole movie in a trailer. I'm over it.
Yeah. I think it still felt like very menacing. It still worked really well. And it's the way that they, when they finally reached her and were just like banging her around all over the place, like it just made it feel really menacing, really dangerous. Yeah. But I think what did kind of get me was the guy who reaches out to her and seems to have like a way to solve this whole thing. Because that did kind of set it up as like, okay, like I could see that working. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess that's where we're going with this. We're going to try to actually defeat it.
Yeah.
And it did feel pretty effective the way that he takes her to this abandoned place. And it's that moment where he's like, I got to get something and just walks out.
Yeah.
That was when I was immediately like, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, ah, shit. And it felt like that did feel scary, like that she's so alone in this weird freezer that when he leaves like that and she's suddenly by herself, it was that was pretty creepy.
Yes.
That worked.
Yeah.
Which is too bad because I kind of want to see, like, would that work? Like, what would happen?
I don't know. I was interested to see if it would work too.
Yeah. And that's the problem is, like, I actually think that they might have been able to do something more interesting with that. But they were kind of hamstrung by executing on this idea of the pop star traumatizing her whole audience. So that's what we actually get for the ending. It also, the part where she kills her mom when she's in the hospital was, like, super effective. And then it's just like, yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
That was all.
Honestly, I had a little bit of relief when I saw that.
Yeah,
I was like, okay,
that
she's
did
okay.
Feel like that was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. I was like, oh my God, that's crazy.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It's too bad because it did feel like kind of deflating once she was popping up on stage. I think that it was supposed to be this big shocking revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it did just feel like, oh, they're just executing on this concept that they came up with. You know, it made it feel kind of by the numbers at that point. We did get to see the creature again, which I was hoping for.
That was really cool,
which was cool
though.
As shit.
Yeah.
It was like very practical, like the way the effects looked on it. I want to see more of the fucking, like, what the hell, man? The first movie, we saw more of the creature in the first one than we did in this one. Because in this one, it was very brief.
I mean, it was still, I don't know. And did I just talk about this in another? I don't remember, but I always want to see more creatures and more special effects. And it's just like, just lean into it. Why are we waiting for the last 5 minutes of the movie? Just
I understand waiting to the end because it does feel like, I mean, that's something the first movie did really effectively. There's so much.
But we're in the second movie now.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the first one, it's really fucking with your head throughout so much of it. And you don't really know what's behind this, which makes it like even scarier. So then when the reveal is it's this big, fucked up, crazy looking monster thing that I love the design because it looks terrifying.
Yeah.
That worked really well. But then when he pops up here, it's just kind of like, I'm here. Like, you've been waiting. And it's very brief. And like the way he emerges from her body and the top half like flops over and shit. All that is super cool. and it stretches out to her. After the movie, I told you, I went into the bathroom and there were these kids and they're like, yo, when he was like this, and they like were acting it out in the theater. It just made me fucking laugh. That was really cool when he was like that.
It was.
But it's again, yeah, it was just so brief. And then it's just the shot of, you don't even get to see her like killing herself, because instead they focus on the audience.
I think that was okay. I don't know. I think seeing everyone's reactions with it happening is interesting. I don't know if I totally needed to see her stick her microphone into her face. I will say I wish that, I feel like it could have been, they could have really pushed that microphone in the head a little bit more.
That's what I'm saying. When this is like the big finale, you know, like you don't even see what happens. You just see the reaction from the audience. And then when they show her, it's just like, oh, I guess she just stuck her microphone in her eye.
I don't know.
That, considering like how crazy the movie gets before that with so many other scenes, for that to be the big finale was just like, I don't know. It just doesn't really.
No, I felt the same way.
It doesn't land that well. Also, what the fuck is up with Voss water? Like, Jesus Christ. She drank so much Voss during this movie.
I guess they sponsored? I don't know.
This is like the
that water's expensive
shit
as hell. Yeah.
But just the fact they found an excuse for her to chug an entire thing of Voss water, like, every 5 minutes.
Do they, like, explain that?
Yeah, because remember they were like, oh, you know, whenever I'm feeling, like, my addiction come back, I'm supposed to chug Voss water.
She was, like, it was, like, supernatural chugging of this water. Like, it was,
I feel
not,
like, that's me when I first wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, and that stuff's fine, too, but it's just, like, it starts to get very blatant.
Well, I mean, people in the theater are like, damn, girl.
I know. She just drank, like, $500 worth of water in that movie. Yeah, I don't know. I think, it can be summed up as, like, it is a great smile movie. It's great, one of those. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of all it is. It's not really pushing it any further than that, and it does wind up feeling kind of predictable at this point. So I'm just hoping that maybe the next one, they actually take the time to respond to that and try and do something a little newer that's going to actually be more surprising, you know, because I think there are ways you could take it, especially because the way this ends with all these people getting seemingly infected by it.
Yeah, it's almost like infinite possibilities at this point.
Yeah, we just have to hope that they do more, because I would like to see another one. And maybe we can actually resolve this fucking trauma instead of just being like, nah, you guys with trauma, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, you're all fucked. Still would like to see them do more with that kind of message, too. But did you have anything else?
No.
Okay. You can go to GhostBeast.com for all our links. You can also search for GhostBeast Pod and follow GhostBeast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything we cover. How about this? Below Deadstream and above Lisa Frankenstein.
I might put it. I think I like Lisa Frankenstein more than this movie.
Do you want to put it below Lisa Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Below Lisa Frankenstein, above Ghostwatch.
Yeah.
It's number 43 on our list. And you can contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. What are your favorite horror sequels that actually do something new with the series? Aside from Aliens. Bye.